We are in Genesis. Chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. We've read a little bit of this last week before we closed. So, this is a critical chapter where we learn some interesting things, and we certainly see the fulfillment of things that God had previously talked about in, where was it, in two chapters earlier, in chapter 25. In chapter 25, in verse 23, the Lord said to Rebekah, who was carrying Jacob and Esau, He said to her that two nations are in your womb, two nations shall be separated from your body, one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So we see the this idea that God spoke of, even while Jacob and Esau were still in the womb, God said that the older will serve the younger. Now, Jacob is the younger, and we remember back as the firstborn Esau was coming out of the womb, Jacob grabbed hold of his Esau's foot, and certainly symbolic that he is one who will make his brother fall. He's going to trip the heel, and that's what his name means. It means a supplanter, one who causes another to stumble and trip and fall. And so there's a lot of information that we have there from their birth, and the idea that Jacob is going as the second born, he's going to swoop in and he's going to make his brother fall. And that his brother, the older, will serve the younger, will serve Jacob. So coming to chapter 27, we see that we see this situation here. So, verse 1, now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, My son. And he answered him, Here I am. Then he said, Behold, now I am old. I do not know the days of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Now, this is an interesting situation, and it might even be a little bit puzzling to us to see Isaac acting in this way. We have a lot of information already, not only the information that God gave, that the older will serve the younger, but also the information that Esau has already fallen from the supplanter, that Jacob has already made him stumble and fall in the selling of the birthright. So the birthright is no longer Esau's. The birthright belongs to the younger now, not the older. And so we have Jacob having that title as the firstborn one, the preeminent one. This has taken place. And yet, notice what happens. Isaac, he's old, he's pretty well blind, and he's soon to die. What does he do? He doesn't call Jacob and Esau. He doesn't call Jacob, who has the birthright. He doesn't call Jacob, whom God said, this is going to be the preeminent one, you know, and that Esau would be the one serving Jacob. He calls Esau. And of course, we knew from two chapters ago, chapter 25, that Isaac, he loved Esau, right? Isaac, Esau was his favorite. And this was a family who definitely played favorites with their children. So we have Isaac in this interesting situation where he's kind of going against everything that has happened, everything that God had said that would happen about these two children of Isaac and Rebekah. You know, everything that has happened already in terms of Jacob now being the possessor of the birthright. Instead, we have Isaac, because he likes Esau. He calls just Esau. Come, I want to give you a blessing. So it's an interesting situation, and it becomes all the more interesting as we continue to read, and when we hear the blessing that Isaac gives, presumably to Esau, it is fascinating to see that Esau is trying to take matters into his own hands. We have here a battle of wills, you know, between the what is the will of God and what is the will of Isaac. And right now, Isaac is trying to ensure that his will be done instead of God's will. And it's of course, he's not going to win that war by any means. And we'll see how interesting this situation takes a turn, so that it is only God's will being done, even though Isaac, he has his own idea about what he'd like to happen, which is the exact opposite of what God said would happen. So it's really a fascinating chapter in light of these ideas here in the context. So he asked Esau to make him, you know, go out, hunt some game, bring me the savory food, he says, that I love. So, you know, Isaac and Esau, they've got this relationship. They both love this whole, you know, hunting and eating of the meat and all these things. They love to eat of those kinds of foods, and you know, they have all these things in common. Okay.
Is there a difference in the blessings and the birthright? Because in verse 36, in the same chapter, you know, after all this takes place and Esau is upset as to what happened, he said, is not to rightly name Jacob, for he had supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's two different things going on here.
They are different. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, as far as clarification of what I said, I'm just stacking things up here in that Jacob has the birthright. God is the one who said that, you know, that the older will serve the younger. And the younger now has the birthright, and yet, so the blessing is not the birthright, but at the same time, the blessing should go along with the birthright, you know, with the one who has that birthright, that preeminence in the family, and yet, Isaac intended to give Esau the blessing of being the preeminent one, even though he doesn't have the birthright anymore. So they're absolutely different. I was just stacking up, you know, kind of all the evidence here to see that Isaac he has his own mission here in this to give Esau a blessing that is really what God had intended for Jacob to have.
mm-hmm. but would also supplant his father as the patriarch of the family. The blessing is actually the blessing that God had given to Abraham, passed on down to Isaac, and now would be all passed on down to Jacob. Is that not right?
You know, I think it should go along with that. Yeah.
Well, the reason I say that is because we see what Esau turned out to be because of his anger, because of his didn't take his birthright seriously. What kind of a leader could he be for his country? But we know that he went and married wives of Canaan, which became idolaters, worshipers of idols. So, you know, in that aspect, God was telling Rebecca that the two nations.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. And you bring up Esau marrying not one but two women of the Hittites, and that information is important as far as its placement in the text. We talked about it last week. But that's at the end of chapter 26 where it talks about that, which I think is a critical placement because it lets us know that, Esau, he's really not following in the footsteps of his father, Isaac, you know. Isaac, he got, his wife from the stock of faith, if you will, you know, from back in his among his kinfolk in the family of Abraham. That's where they got Rebekah and brought her back to Isaac, because it was important. It was important for spirituality. You know, it was important for Isaac to not be tripped up by these women of the world that were all around them, all these who did not know God, and so we have here Esau really doing the opposite of what his father did. He marries these two Hittite women, and the chapter ended with what? Verse 35, that they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. So you see that this was, you know, Abraham was right. You know, Abraham was wise to ensure these promises of God, to ensure the faithfulness within his family. He was right to make sure that Isaac got a good woman. Now Isaac has Jacob and Esau, and you know Esau he marries a plurality of these women of the world who we see they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. So it's the situation is not good. But notice the placement there, because now coming into chapter 27 where we're at, what is Isaac doing? Well, he's calling Jacob separately. He wants to bless him. And, you know, we see that it's fascinating that upon all of this, not only, you know, God said that Jacob would be the preeminent one, you know, not only does Jacob now own the birthright, and not only is Esau just, you know, doing his own thing, you know, and he's really not following in the same footsteps as Abraham, or even in the same footsteps as his father Isaac had done. Even still, Isaac wants to bless Esau. So it's really fascinating. I think it shows kind of how far the partiality, I guess, goes. This isn't just a small matter, but it goes pretty deep. So, let's see where we're at. So, verse 5, so we have Esau going out to hunt game, to bring it and cook it for his father so he can receive a blessing. I meant Esau went out. So in verse 5, it says that Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make me savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him. And I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go. Get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Now, let's pause there for just a moment. So we see the deception here. This is the same as when they were coming out of the womb. And we have yet again the fall of Esau in this situation as Jacob has tripped him up and has swung in here, and deceptively, Isaac believes that now this is Esau and not Jacob. Of course, you know, Rebekah had a lot to do with this, and, you know, Rebekah, Jacob, that's her favorite, and Isaac, vice versa, with Esau. But there's more to it than that, of course, because there is what God had said would happen, and that the older would serve the younger. Now, I want us to notice what, here in the next few verses, what God, or not God, but what Isaac says in his blessing to who he thinks is Esau, it's actually Jacob. And see how Isaac is intending for Esau to be what God said he wouldn't be. So in verse 24, then he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He said, "I am." He said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you. So there's the blessing that he thought he was giving to his favorite son, Esau, but instead it was given to Isaac. Now, we see that the beginning of the blessing is that God would give him an abundance, would bless him with an abundance on this earth. But the latter part is very fascinating. As in verse 29, he talked about let people serve you, then let nations bow down to you, and be master over your brethren. How about that? That you would be master over your brethren. And then he says, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Now that's the opposite of what God had said to Rebekah when there was a struggle within her womb. All right. So we have two nations in the womb, two peoples will be separated from your body, God said. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. And here, Isaac, he flips that around. And he intends for Esau to be the one whom his brothers will bow down and would serve him, and that he would be their master. How about that? So God said it would be Isaac that would be the master over the brethren. And Isaac blesses Esau, kind of, but he doesn't, right? But he thinks he's blessing Esau that he'd be master over his brethren. So it's really a fascinating chapter to see that, you know, the struggle of will here, a struggle within man's self and self-will, and as we see Isaac operating in this way, when number one, God has said the opposite would happen. Number two, Jacob's got the birthright. All right, he's the, as Brother Doyle pointed out, he's the patriarch of the family. All right, he's the master over the brethren by right. By right, he's master over the brethren. And now Isaac is coming in here, and he's saying all that's the whole opposite of all that. So it is very interesting. So notice in verse 30 it says, now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? So he said, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where's the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. When Isaac heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? So, we see some interesting things. I guess maybe in our culture, we'd say, this isn't right. Let's get a lawyer. I don't know, but or we'd have maybe Isaac saying, that's all null and void then, because that blessing was meant for you. But rather, he spoke it upon that individual, whether it be Isaac or Esau. He thought it was Esau, but he gave that blessing to that person that was before him the first time, which was Jacob. So he says, I have nothing to give. I blessed him to be master, and that's how it's going to be. He will be your master. Exactly.
So he knew he should have got the birthright, and the blessing went with the birthright. And
sure.
Esau really wanted the material part of the blessings. He didn't have any interest really in the temporal, spiritual part of the blessing. And
I agree. Right. That's right. Absolutely. So it's we see that God's will and God's word will stand, and it will not come back to him void. And so even though we have Isaac here, really he's working against everything that has happened, everything that, what God has said, what has happened with the birthright. He's working against all these things, and that just blows up right there. I mean, it does not work. And so it's an interesting chapter, and shows that man can work, and he can try to ensure all sorts of things, but the reality is, what is God's will, that's what's going to be accomplished. And so it's so fascinating to see it like this, because we can't, it's hard to see sometimes in our own lives or in the world or what have you, but to be able to see both sides from a reading like this, and to see that although man is completely working against, their will is completely different than what is God's. All of a sudden we see here that it was God's will that was done, and that's what was accomplished, and it wasn't the will of Isaac. So he does end up blessing Esau. Verse 18, Esau said to his father, verse 38, Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." So definitely not a very pleasant sounding blessing by any means. This is a message here of a hard life, a life by the sword, not pleasant, not restful. And not only does he have to live his life by the sword now, but Isaac reaffirms, you will serve your brother. And but further, he goes on to talk about when you become restless, you will break his yoke from your neck. And, you know, we're going to see, you know, historically a great deal of trouble and strife and problems and fighting and war, you know, between Esau's descendants and Jacob's descendants, the Edomites versus the Israelites. So definitely a very, very different blessing. You know, I'd hardly call it a blessing, but it was. And the writer of Hebrews, I think it's the writer of Hebrews, he does say that Isaac blessed both Jacob and Esau. That was his lot that was given to him. So, all right, we're about out of time then. So we'll be able to finish up chapter 27 pretty easily and quickly next time around. It's just, I think you'll find it very interesting that the continual foolishness of Esau and how he even tries to do things right, but he's just so wrong, you know, with what he tries to do. So we'll finish that up and then get into chapter 27 next time around as well.